Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I've been on now for about 2 months. It's been quite a while. And actually, there is kind of a trilogy here. I'm talking about God's will, but the very first teaching or the very first set was a 5-part teaching on how to find God's will. Today will be my last teaching in the second part of this on how to follow God's will. And then next week, we're going to start the third part of this about how to fulfill God's will. But all of these things are talking about how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will in your life. And I'm really excited about this because I know that this has touched a lot of people's lives. You know, we've had a lot of feedback from this already, even though we're still in the middle of this teaching. I've been teaching this at my Gospel Truth seminars, and I've actually had a number of my staff members who have gotten so fired up from this teaching that they have come to me and that they felt like God has revealed His will and that they're off going some other direction. So in a sense, it's hurt me, but it's helping the kingdom. They're hearing God's will, and people are going on and fulfilling what God has called them to do. And I know that this has been touching a lot of people, a lot of people. This is what turned my life around. And so today I'm beginning the last teaching in my second album on how to fulfill or how to follow God's will. And this teaching is entitled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery. I haven't got time to go back and summarize everything I've said, but of course we talked about how you could find out what God wants you to do and then about how to follow His will. And we talked about just some real basic things, letting the peace of God rule in your heart. Recognizing that if you are truly delighting yourself in the Lord, that He would give you the desires of your heart, that He would put His desires into your heart. And so we've talked about a lot of these things. Let me take a verse out of Romans chapter 8, actually a couple of verses here, and use this just to describe or to illustrate one of the major problems in following God's will. And in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity," or that means the enemy of God, "for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, these verses just make this point that there is a part of us that has been born again, and that's our born-again spirit, and that part is brand new. This has the Spirit of God on the inside of us, and I'll be sharing this in more detail this week as we go through this series. But your spirit man already has the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. It knows all things. It's already in there in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. And Colossians 3:10, we've been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created us. And on it goes. In the spirit man, you have the knowledge of God's will. You have this perfect wisdom. But we also have a physical part of us, not just our physical body, but your mental and emotional makeup, what the Bible calls the soul. And the soul is not instantly changed at salvation. The spirit is, and in the spirit, you're perfect. You're complete. You've got the mind of Christ. Everything's fine in your spirit. But your mind is the part of you that is not renewed, and unless you make a deliberate effort to renew it and to get beyond just your natural way of thinking. That's what this scripture is talking about when it says to be carnally minded is death. The word carnal, to a lot of people, they equate that with being sinful or rebellious towards God. And certainly all sin and all rebellion is carnal. But the word carnal doesn't have to be this extreme, terrible thing. Did you know that there are people watching this program that you are good people? You love God, you desire the things of God, and yet according to the Scripture, you would be carnal. The word carnal just means of your five senses. Literally, the word carnal, if you look it up in the Greek, it means the flesh as stripped of skin. Not just talking about your epidermis, this covering over your body, but it's literally meat is what it's talking about. It's just talking about natural. For instance, when the Bible talks about you being carnally minded, if you use this definition, it just means that you're a meathead. Amen. It means that you are just thinking in the natural realm. You have no spiritual perception. Now, there's a lot of people who are good people and that they aren't out living in sin and rebellion towards God, but they are just totally controlled by their natural senses, just natural way of thinking. There's people that when the doctor says that you've got cancer, there's people that can't see or think of a supernatural, spiritual healing. They just naturally think, I've got to do all of these things in the natural. There's people that if you have a financial problem, you can't see God supernaturally giving you anything. You're just limited to the natural realm. And, you know, this isn't necessarily sin or rebellion towards God. All of us were taught from the time we were a little child to use wisdom and to think this way, and that this is how it is, and that if you have this problem in your body, it doesn't just naturally, I mean supernaturally get healed. You've got to do something to make all these things happen. And there is a partial truth there. You need some of this natural, carnal wisdom. You know, if you're going to drive me someplace, I don't want you to drive me by faith. I don't want you to have your eyes closed and praying and asking God for wisdom about where to, how fast to go and where to turn. I want you to use some carnal things. Open your eyes. Have your ears open so that you can hear if there's a horn that honks at you and things like this. You have to have some of this carnal ability. But the spiritual realm is real, and there is so much power of God available to us that you cannot perceive with just your little peanut brain. You can't be limited to the carnal realm. A Christian should go beyond our natural ability and move into the supernatural ability of God. And this is what this is talking about, that if you are in the flesh, all of us are in the flesh to a degree. I'm in this body. I have flesh. I have natural things, and I have to use those natural things to talk to you right now. You know, I looked in a mirror and combed my hair, and I brushed my teeth, and those are natural, carnal things. But I am not only carnal. I'm aware that there is a spiritual realm. On the way in today, I was praying and believing God and talking to a person that I couldn't see and believing that the Holy Spirit would give me instruction and wisdom beyond my natural self. I am physical. I am in the flesh in one sense, but at the same time, I am not limited to that. I also have the spiritual realm in me. And see, this is what this is talking about. And for us to follow God's will, you've got to acknowledge that there is a part of you that is natural, that is human. But there is also a part of you that is supernatural. And you've got to learn how to flow in the supernatural. You've got to learn that there, this spiritual person on the inside that has the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God, you've got to get to where that is just as real to you, actually more real to you than the things that you see in the mirror, that the things that you feel in your body and feel in your emotions. You've got to get to where you realize who you are in Christ, and then you have to renew your mind and let these spiritual truths, these spiritual things that are in your spirit man, begin to dominate and control. In the Old Testament, I've already used these verses out of Proverbs chapter 3 or Psalms 37. There's a number of places where it mentions these things. But it says, don't lean unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And it makes a very clear reference there that there is a natural way of thinking and that there is a godly way of thinking. And we've got to get to where God's thinking dominates us. And, of course, you can't do that without knowing the Word of God. So an important part of this battle is a renewing of your mind with the Word of God. That's what I'm doing on these television programs. That's what all of my tapes and books and CDs are about. That's what our Bible college is about. We are helping people to renew their mind. I've spent 42 years of studying day and night and seeking God with all of my heart and the things that God has revealed to me and other people that are a part of this ministry and a part of our Bible college. We are taking these things and just, I mean, saturating people in these truths, and it's changing people's lives. It's changing them. All of us, when we get born again, have this potential, but you've got to renew your mind. You've got to change this way of thinking because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So unless your mind is renewed, you are never going to be able to follow God's will. So you've got to get this wisdom of God that's in your spirit out into your physical mind. And there's multiple things that do that. But what I want to do this week, I'm going to start sharing something with you that to some of you, this is going to be just off the charts because you've never heard things like this. Some of you, this is going to be a reminder of things that maybe you've heard before, but you don't operate in. But I believe that the vast majority of people watching this, whether it's a reminder or brand new to you, this is going to be something that is not common in most people's lives. And therefore, this is one of the reasons that very few people follow God's will. They make all of these mistakes because they just literally aren't taking advantage of everything that God has for us. Let me turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to start sharing this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul was having to deal with a group of people that he ministered to. He was the one that God used to expose them to the gospel. They got born again under his ministry, and he established a church in Corinth. But then other people came in and started preaching. There was Apollos, and there was Peter, and there was other people. And anyway, because of this, the body had splintered into groups, and some were saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas or Peter, and I'm of Christ, and they were split and all of these different things. And so Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians to this group of people, trying to establish his authority and saying that, you know, you could have 10,000 teachers or instructors, but you've only got one Father. I'm the one that God used to bring you into the kingdom. Therefore, I have a right to speak into your life. And he was establishing his authority. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he began to talk about how he ministered to these people. And I'm just for time's sake going to summarize some of this. But he said that he didn't come just with fancy words. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. As a matter of fact, over in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said that his speech is contemptible. That was one of the criticisms that people had against him. Some of these people that were saying, oh, you need to quit following Paul and follow Apollos or whoever. They criticized his speech. So apparently, Paul was not a fancy speaker. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. And he said this right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says in verse 4, "...and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." Paul, it wasn't just the words. He did communicate, but it wasn't a great orator. It was more he just spoke truth, but then he backed it up with the power of God. He saw miracles happen. He saw Eutychus raised from the dead. You can read about that in the book of Acts. He saw many people healed. He saw people heal so much that they said he was God and wanted to make him a God, and he had to come against that. He had the power of God working in his life. And why did he do it this way? It says in the next verse that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So Paul here is actually putting down this natural, physical wisdom, just carnal thinking. Remember the things I was saying earlier out of Romans chapter 8, about being carnal, just natural thinking. Paul wasn't using natural thinking. Let me just have a little parenthesis here. Don't lose where I'm going. Don't forget what I'm saying. But this is so important. I could literally spend an hour making this point. I want to make it quickly and move on. But there are so many people trying to use just natural logic, thinking, wisdom, carnal, natural things to convince other people about the things of God. And I could use many scriptures on this, but Paul said, no, your faith should be in the power of God, not in all of these natural things. He's going to go on and say this, and I'll read these verses. But there are so many people today that are trying to reach a person through their head. You cannot get a person genuinely changed through their head. You have to reach them on a heart level. Salvation is something that takes place in the heart. It has to come by revelation. You have to reach a person heart to heart. Now, once you reach their heart, there is benefit to also giving them wisdom and understanding so that they can continue in it and follow it. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thinking and using our head, but I'm saying that the gospel isn't just for your head. It changes your heart. You have to reach people on a heart level. And so much of the ministry that the church is doing today is to the emotions of people. It is plain to all of their things, to make everything as comfortable as it can possibly be. We are doing things to stroke people's emotions and do all of this, which we are physical, natural. We do have emotions. I'm not saying that you ignore that. But the focus of so much of the church is on the external, physical, soulish, natural realm. And yet it's the heart that has to relate to God. It says in Romans chapter 10 that it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with your heart that you have to believe. Faith comes out of the heart, and without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So you've got to reach a person heart to heart. And basically, this is what Paul is talking about. He says, I didn't come in these natural things like an orator. I didn't come. I'm not flashy. He wasn't fancy. But he says, I had the power and the anointing of God. He touched people on a heart level. And he was contrasting this carnal wisdom with spiritual wisdom. There is wisdom to be used in the gospel, but it's just not natural. For instance, let me just use one example here, that when it comes to prosperity, the wisdom of the world thinks that if you need more, the way to get it is to hoard. Quit expending. Cut your expenses. Do all of these things. And it's hoard and it's protect. The Bible, the wisdom of God is exactly the opposite. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Luke 6:38. See, this is an example of the contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world says, no, if you get into a tight spot, quit giving. God's wisdom says, man, if you're in a tight spot, increase your giving. See, they're both wisdom. The world would totally reject the wisdom of God's Word. But God's Word totally rejects the wisdom of this world that just leans under your own understanding and doesn't acknowledge that there's a God. If there wasn't a God who promised that when you give, it's going to be given unto you and you're going to have such an abundance that you won't even have room enough to receive it. If there wasn't a God who gave you His Word that when you give in faith that that will happen, well, then it would be true that it is stupid for you to take a portion of what you have and give it away when you are in need yourself. If there wasn't a God who promised that He would prosper you back, well, then the wisdom of this world, you know, here you are, you've got this goal over here that you're heading towards. You're short of it. And if you take a portion of what you have and give it away, you're actually moving away from that goal of having more abundance. In the natural, that makes sense. But with spiritual wisdom, the wisdom that the Word of God presents, it's just the opposite. If you really want to get over there to this goal, the way to do it is to take a portion of what you've got and give it in faith, and God will multiply it, and you'll get there quicker, and you'll have more abundance. There's probably people watching this program right now that you think, this just does not make sense. That's because you are operating in carnal wisdom that is the enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There is a different wisdom, a superior wisdom that comes from the Word of God. And it is that if you have needs, you give. You bless others. And as you give to others, that God will give seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. If you are a giver, a sower, God will see to it that your needs are met. If you're just an eater, a taker, then you know what? You are actually going to hinder yourself and your own prosperity. So anyway, that was my little parenthesis. Back here we are to this point. Paul is saying that he didn't come using this natural wisdom, and he wasn't a great orator. It wasn't his fancy clothes. It wasn't any of these natural things. Paul was using the supernatural power of God. And yet he says in the next verse, after he had kind of put down wisdom In the next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." Now see, some of the things that I've said, some of the things that the Apostle Paul said, some people could think that, well, to be a real follower of Christ then, you just have to be one of these stupid, ignorant people that just goes against all conventional wisdom. And there are people that have used that criticism before and have said that about people who are fanatical about trusting God and believing God. But Paul, see, is saying that yet there is a wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world. It's the wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. And so Paul is saying, I'm using wisdom. Some of you may think that by me giving and doing all of these things that this is crazy. But you know what? Really, we are the ones that are believing that when you honor God with your first fruits of your substance, that God will prosper it back and make your barns to be full of plenty and multiply all of these things. That's the wisdom of God. That's the proper wisdom. That's what the Word of God says. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, we're speaking wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this world. In verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, you know, the world claims that their wisdom, they're just so smart. They've got all of these things figured out, and they will sit there and make a person who has faith in God and is trusting God for healing, or trusting God for prosperity, or trusting God for their family to be put back together. They will look at those people and make fun of them and talk about that you're a fool and make you feel like you're a fool. And yet Paul says, who's really got the wisdom of God? He says, look at the world system. Satan and all of the people that were under the control of Satan thought that they were stopping Jesus by crucifying him, and they played right into the hand of God. This was God's prophesied way of bringing salvation to the world. It says if they would have really had any wisdom, they would have never crucified Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53 made it very clear that Jesus was going to be crucified and die for us and bear our sorrows and do all of these things. And these people read those exact verses, and yet the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You just cannot figure things out with your carnal mind. These people had it in black and white right in front of them, and they missed it because of the wisdom of this world. The carnal mind is enmity against God. And if you are going to follow God's will, you're going to have to get beyond your carnal mind, your natural way of thinking, and you are going to have to release this supernatural power of God that lives on the inside of you. How do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what I'm beginning to teach about, and that's what all of this week is talking about. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this on our programs all week long. And I tell you, if you can receive this, this could be one of the greatest revelations that you've ever heard. I believe it'll make a big difference in your life. So please listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get these materials that we're offering. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled The Wisdom of God in a Mystery, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 12th through the 17th, in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 18th through the 19th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, October 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Buxton, Derbyshire, in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 18th through the 20th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me on the 12th through the 17th of September in Charlotte, North Carolina. This is, I think, the 23rd year that I'll be doing Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting. Pastor Dean Melton there is the pastor, and all of the people at Freedom Christian Center are just some of my best friends. We have a great time. It's under a brush arbor. It goes from Sunday morning through Friday night. There's Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then all evening services. It's just a great time. The praise and worship is great. And if you haven't got to meet Pastor Dean Melton, you've missed one of life's great pleasures. Amen. He's a character. You will love it. So remember, September the 12th through the 17th, Freedom Christian Center in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted, one hip was crushed, and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.